As we prepare our hearts for the scripture reading, let us pray. Almighty God, as you have given Jesus Christ to be Savior and Lord, grant us now grace to accept and rejoice in our salvation and in his Lordship. Send your Holy Spirit upon us that we might give proper thanks this day to our King and our Redeemer. Amen. The scripture reading is from John 9, verse 1 through 23. Let us listen to the word of God. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed to him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our next reading continues in John chapter 9 with verse 24. Let us listen to the word of God. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be. Listen to the story about two traveling angels. These two angels stopped to spend the night in the home of a wealthy family, and the family was rude and refused to let them stay in the mansion's guest room. Instead, they were given a small space in the cold basement. And as they made their bed on the hard floor, the older angel saw a hole in the wall and repaired it. When the younger angel asked why, the older angel replies, "Things aren't always what they seem." The next night, the pair came to rest at the house of a very poor but very hospitable farmer and his wife. And after sharing what little food they had, the couple let the angels sleep in their bed where they could have a good night's rest. And when the sun came up the next morning, the angels found the farmer and his wife in tears. Their only cow, whose milk had been their sole income, lay dead in the field. The younger angel was infuriated and asked the older angel, "How could you have let this happen? The first man had everything, yet you helped him," she accused. "And the second family had little but was willing to share everything. And you let the cow die." "Things aren't always what they seem," the older angel replied. "When we stayed in the basement of the mansion, I noticed there was gold stored in that hole in the wall. And since the owner was so obsessed with greed and unwilling to share his good fortune, I sealed the wall so they wouldn't find it. Then last night, as we slept in the farmer's bed, the angel of death came for his wife. I gave him the cow instead. Things aren't always what they seem." And now, some of you might have heard this story or read it before. It's an interesting parable, and it has a nice ending, at least for us, those who are listening. We know what happens at the end. But the farmer and his wife, they don't. They have no idea that she's been spared. But what I like most about this story is how it relates to our gospel lesson. Things aren't always what they seem. In our scripture reading, we hear about a man who was born blind. And the theology in those days recognized those who were blind, diseased, and possessed must have deserved those things. They or their family sinned against God, and so God curses them. Even Jesus' disciples think this way. So they ask Jesus, "Who sinned, him or his parents?" Yet Jesus knows the whole story. And he says the reason he's blind is so God's works might be revealed in him. In essence, he's saying things aren't always what they seem. Nobody sinned. He's just blind. However, if we listen to the story carefully, we realize the only person who recognizes God's works in this whole story seems to be the blind person. For most of us, the Jewish theology of the time sounds ridiculous, but it's supported by Scripture. And if you know anything about a good Jew, they know their Bible, especially the religious authorities. They know the law and the prophets like the back of their hands. From the time of Abraham, we read again and again, God bestowing blessings on the faithful patriarchs and matriarchs. They share all the blessings they receive in those stories. God promises Abraham that he will make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And they follow God and they pray when Sarah is barren, unable to have a child, and God provides a way. She has a child in her old age. Somehow, every barren woman in Scripture has a child. It seems like the Old Testament is filled with impossibility, story after story of difficult situations, and the faithful are pointed to blessings that God gives them. Even Job, who loses everything, was given tenfold because he's faithful to God. And these stories begin to define a theology that continue into Jesus' time. God blesses the faithful, and God curses the sinner. More or less, that's the theology we hear in today's scripture, at least from the religious authorities. In fact, some still espouse this theology today. Yet this kind of theology turns God into a genie who grants wishes, which we discover from Jesus is too simplistic, too immature. In today's reading, even though the religious authorities know scripture well, they seem to be blinded when God is literally in their midst. God, through Jesus Christ, heals a blind man. He does the impossible, and they don't recognize God's works when they see it happening. It's a bit ironic that the religious authorities don't get it, that they don't see what's happening. They're stuck in their theology, steeped in their scriptures and laws and tradition. They're unable to recognize the God they follow working in their midst. And then when Jesus tells them that this man or his family didn't sin, that he was just born blind, Jesus is threatening the very tenets of their faith and established theology. So they get defensive and they point to the next problem of the situation. Certainly Jesus cures a blind man, but he did it on the Sabbath. They're threatened. The entire Bible's at stake for them. The Sabbath is part of the Ten Commandments. And if you mess with the top ten, then all the laws start crumbling. So this very situation is suspect to them. And so Jesus is suspect. In this healing of a blind man, blindness moves from one to the others. Things aren't always what they seem, are they? This healing isn't for the religious authorities because they don't get it. They never are going to get it. Instead, the miracle is for the one who is blind and for us. For years, this man and his family carried this guilt. They were told that they must have done something wrong, that God caused him to be blind, and they were pushed away. Yet today, this man encounters the living God and a new theology. He's healed not only physically, but also emotionally and spiritually. Today, this blind man can see he's whole again. He's face to face with God, and ironically, those who had eyesight all along, they're blinded, unable to see God. I don't know about you, but life doesn't always work out the way we plan it. I'm sure you know that all too well. Sometimes we feel like the blind man because life just seems to give us a lot of lemons. I wish it weren't that way, but it does. It seems like that's the way it works at times. And I don't know why things happen the way they do. Some of us are born with adversity, and some of us face difficulty and struggle and pain along the way. And if you're anything like me, you've probably asked this question: why do bad things happen to good people? I'm sure some of you have even read the book, because I have. It's certainly a question each of us has wondered. If God is good, and if I believe in God, then why does bad stuff happen to good people, to me? And why does good stuff happen to bad people? If I believe in God and I'm faithful, then why is life at times so hard? There are many times when life just doesn't seem fair, does it? Especially to those of us who are trying to do the right things, and yet terrible and tragic things still happen. If God is all-powerful, why can't God just step in and fix things and change it for us? But it seems like God is more complicated, not a genie granting our wishes. This blind man's born into adversity. I'm sure he wondered time and time again what he did to deserve it. The religious elite, in the name of God, pushed him away and many others down. They beat him up, and things like it still happen today. He certainly was given a life full of lemons. He was shunned from his family and from the temple for his entire life, carrying guilt and burden, always blaming himself. He was taught to believe that the creator of the universe cursed him and God made him blind because of his sin and unfaithfulness. Yet finally, many years later, God reaches him in an unusual, turning theology upside down kind of way. On this day, when he meets Jesus, he hears for the first time God telling him that it was never his fault. And he stands face to face with God. And he discovers that God loves him. That he loves him yesterday and today and forever. And God heals much more than this man's blindness. This blind man's the only one that day who sees God face to face. His entire life led him to this moment. He was born blind so God's works might be revealed in him and so that our theology might become more mature. And theology like this might shake the very core of Scripture. But God became flesh so that we can know the true and living God. That God's accepting and loving and healing. That God gives sight to the blind and restores. That He's not a genie in a bottle, that he's not a cause and effect kind of God, that even though life isn't always easy to understand, we can discover things aren't always what they seem. And similarly for us, we must open our eyes so we can see God working in our midst. We must not be blinded like the religious elite, thinking God has cursed us. And even when we experience tragedy or adversity or pain, we must remember this blind man's story and how God turns things upside down and continue to live that way no matter what. I want to close with this prayer by Dr. Kent Keith. I think it challenges us to our very core. It reminds us to do what God calls us, no matter what situation we are in. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It is never between you and them anyway. With God, things aren't always what they seem. Amen and amen.